Okay. I think we should start. My name is Bill Nathan, and I'm from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Today, we are here to talk about like anti-slavery in Haiti. And then, so before we jump in, I would like to share a song with you guys, which we use a lot in our homes. At St. Joseph's. So I don't think I have a lot of anybody.
Mm-hmm. I can share it. No one listen to it.
Sa se yon jou,
sa se yon jou,
gamet la te fe,
gamet la te fe,
an nou rejoui,
an nou rejoui,
e kontan pou sa,
e kontan pou sa.
Sa se yon jou, gamet la te fe, an nou rejoui, e kontan pou sa. Ça c'est un jour,
ça c'est un jour,
gamet la t'es fait. This is the day,
this is the day,
that the Lord has made,
that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice,
let us rejoice,
and be glad in it,
and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made. So we're going to jump in and we're going to go further down. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice,
let us rejoice,
and be glad in it,
and be glad in it.
Jesus is the way that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus is the way,
Jesus is the way
that the Lord has made. Let us pray. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I ready for all. I accept it all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. Into your hand I commended my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and to see I give myself to you, to surround myself into your hands, without reserve and without boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today we are going to talk about like anti-slavery in Haiti. And then I put this picture on the screen so you guys can see. The title is Understanding about Restavek. I will talk about the Restavek issue that also included to anti-slavery in Haiti. And then beforehand, let me give you a little background about Haiti. The country of Haiti is the western half of the Caribbean island of Hispaniola, a name given to it by Christopher Columbus when he arrived there in 1492. The history of this island is long and complex. First inhabited by the Arawak people, it was later colonized by the Spanish and then by the French in 1697. The island was divided. The French-speaking part, first called Saint-Domingue, became Haiti. The Spanish-speaking part in the east became what is now the Dominican Republic. After a successful rebellion lynched in 1791, the country finally became independent of the French in 1804, making it the second oldest republic in the New World. Well, my question, what do you guys know about he?
Well, we've been to quite a few of your classes, so we know some stuff.
All right.
So it can be intense.
So, you guys mention anything, like anything you know, and then according to your research, and then just throw it out there.
80% Catholic, 10% Protestant, and 100% Voodoo.
Absolutely. You get it that right.
Voodoo is not a bad thing.
Yep. What else?
Poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
Yep. Yep. As you mentioned that Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere with an average annual income of $300. Poverty, malnutrition, starvation, disease, substandard housing, unemployment, and illiteracy are a way of life there. So, my question for you, what is slavery? When you heard the term of slavery, what is it exactly? And then, is slavery still exist?
Yes, it still exists. Keeping people by force, forcing them to do the freedom you want them to do.
Absolutely. Well, believe it or not, nowadays, we have 27 million people still in slavery, which in the whole world.
Yep.
And in Haiti, it's one of them. Right now in Haiti, we have 300,000 kids in slavery. What we call in Haiti, rest avec. Rest avec, it's a French word, means stays with, in a negative way. Where those children, some of them, their parents can afford to take care of them, and then where sometimes they have to give the children away to someone else who can provide better care for them. It's not because they don't love those children, but they see they cannot provide what they really want for those children. And then they give them away because they know that their kids will be well taken care of. This is what they have in their head. But it's not the reality. So as soon as those kids that get taken away and those kids ended up in the system, and they stop. And that's how they ended up. And then here's the picture. And this is a rest of a kid.
Do they keep them all the way into the adulthood, all the way through?
A lot of them, when they get probably 17, 18, they kick them out. When they kick them out, and then those young girls and young boys, they have no education. And what they will do?
The girl will prostitution for the girl.
That's what they're gonna, that's how they ended up there.
Yeah,
when the boys want gangs in?
Yeah. And then a lot of the boys, they end involved in gangs. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of them, they lost their lives. But Haiti been accomplished a great thing where he defeated the Napoleons, which was the most powerful army at that time. And then with the story of Haiti, it's so profound and it's so complex at the same time. And then when you read the story, the Haitian history, sometimes even the Haitian don't understand it. Don't understand it. So in our heads, Haitians, we know we fought against slavery, and then we said no to slavery. And now we're still having it. And then who's doing it? We do it to our own people. Still today. And then every day we ask ourselves the same questions. Where is that mentality come from? But it's called all came from in a time of slavery. So when Haiti has its independence, and then they were freed from slavery, but we did not have a plan. We won the battle. That's great. Great victory. But the question is, did we have someone there that educated to make a plan? To say, now we are free, and then let's make a plan so we can be in our own, and we can do things in our own. We did not have that. The only one that we were, our ancestors were counting on, it was only Toussaint Louverture. Well, Toussaint Louverture did not have the opportunity where they took him to France and where they put him in jail and then where he died with the yellow fever. So he was the only one we were counting on. Because the rest of the hero who fought on the battle, none of them had education. None of them had education. But Toussaint Louverture didn't have a great education as well. But he can read, he can write. So the thing about the slavery thing in Haiti nowadays and what we call the modern day of slavery is a recycling. It's a lack of education that caused all of this. I have been working with an author. His name is Jean-Aubert Cadet. And then this guy, he was a child slave in Haiti. So while he was there, the family that he used to be a slave for and took him to the United States, and where the slavery continued in Miami. So here in the United States, all kids have right to go to school. But the Jean-Aubert Cadet was not allowed to go to school. Every day he locked in and then was not allowed to go anywhere. Somehow he managed to escape and get on the street, and a policeman caught him. Said, why are you not in school? Well, everybody else in school. And he explained to the policeman what's going on with his life. So the policeman took it very seriously and then reported it. And where the family have been in jail for many years. For many years. Well, that kid cannot go back to their families anymore. And then someone else in a family took him in, I think they're from Cincinnati. So they give him the opportunity to go to school, and then now he's one of the professors at Cincinnati University. And then he's been writing many books about child slavery, and he. And I have been working with him a lot on how we can stop this. I know this issue is so profound, and it's so deeply rooted. It's not something that you can accomplish overnight. But there's a lot of people been working on this issue. Well, way before the earthquake, we had the 300,000 kids in slavery. Imagine right now. So imagine right now. So the question, who will be defending those kids? What can we do to stop this? Myself, I was a child slave, but someone stepped in my life and gave me a better life. It's all about like making a difference. But what I see in Haiti, even though the number, it's huge. But I see, if you reach hand to one kid, and then that kid is well educated, and then that kid will go and make a difference in someone's life. The problem is not only in Haiti, but it's in our neighbors, Dominican Republic as well. Where in Haiti, the employment rate is so high, where a lot of people are so desperate, and then they want to go where their lives is, where they can make a better living. We have Duvalier, Papa Doc, where Duvalier signed a contract with Trujillo and Dominican Republic, where they sold a lot of Haitian to work in the sugarcane plantation. And in that plantation belonged to
Virginia.
So he did that for his own benefit. And in where he received millions of dollars. And then what he did, he left the country and went to France. And then still nowadays, people still struggling in the battles. They're not allowed to escape. They're not allowed to go anywhere because they have guards around the property. And the worst thing about it, those people, they live in shacks, and then they have no access to medical, they have no access to clean water, and then they have no access to education. And a lot of them, sometimes they run out. They want to get a break. But if the soldiers see them around, sitting, not doing anything, and then call them lazy, and then they torture them. What they did, sometimes they cut one of their arms, or sometimes they just kill them and bury them where they are working. And then they still exist. Right now. But a lot of questions been asked. What can we do? What can we do? I'm always said, well, it's education. Our government need supposed to focus more and educate more people in the country. If you keep saying like this little kid, she is the future for the country. How can you say she's the future for the country where she don't have access to education? Where she kept in a home, all she have to do is what she's doing right now. Every day. Every day. So, every day that in Haiti we are thinking about all this problem surrounding us, we don't know where to start. It's so overwhelmed. Every year, everything is increasing, increasing, increasing. But at St. Joseph's, where I work, we put some program together. So how to educate some of the people, the slave masters, how we can educate them. Themselves, they don't have an education. So we have a school where we have 120 kids that still live with their parents, but their parents can afford to send them to school, but kids who graduate at St. Joseph's, and then that kid, he was a child slave, and he got an education, and then he left St. Joseph's and opened that school for the poorest of the poor and in the Jacmel community. So later on, we realize how many kids still in slavery in Haiti. And then what we did, we went to different neighborhoods and then do some research. And one day, we found 70 kids that locked in, beat up all the time. And then those kids are very, very, very in bad shape. We talked to the masters who said, well, we have a school which is not far from you guys. What about if you let those kids come to school so they have a taste of education? We did not have a good welcoming for me. Because they see that, well, what are we trying to do? They don't pay anything. Free labor. They don't have to pay someone to do this, but they have those young kids doing it. So why do they have to send them to school? We fought until they let them go to that school only on Saturday. We reported it to the social services. And then they promised us they will do something. The question is, did they ever do something? No. But I see myself as a victim of this. So I met this guy. His name is Benjamin Skinner. And he's a writer for Time Magazine. And then they paid for his trip to travel to different countries around the world to do some research about modern day of slavery. So somehow he heard about Haiti, and then he went to go because he heard the term of Restavak. And then he wanted a place to live. And he went and surfed online, and then found St. Joseph's Home for Boys, which is a guest house as well. That's how we generate income to support our mission down there. And then he stayed with us. So one day, I saw him all alone doing his typing, and I approached him. And I asked his name, and then I asked him, what is your purpose of your trip? And he said, well, I am here to learn more about Restavak issue here. I said, well, I was a Restavak myself. And then we started to talk. And then I shared my story with him. 2 days later, he left. He went downtown. And then he met a guy that offered him a little kid. And then he said to the guy, what do you mean? And then the guy said to him, well, I want to sell you a little kid. Ben, as a journalist, he wanted to know. And then he said to that guy, is a little boy or a little girl? And the guy said, any genders you want, I will get you one. He said to Ben, once you get this kid, you buy it for your money, you can do whatever you want with that little kid. And Ben said, what age? He said, well, any age you want, from 6 to 15. And Ben said, where are all those kids located? He said, well, I can just go in the countryside and grab it. He said, well, how you can go in the countryside and grab a kid and sell the kid? Is this kid have a parent? He said, yes, they have a parent. And then Ben said, well, how much money will you sell me that kid? And then the guy said, well, I'll sell you that kid for $100 US. $100. And then Ben said, well, if I pay and give my money and then I earn these kids, so I can do anything I want with that kid. And the guy said, yes, you can do anything you want. Ben said, well, I only have $100 in my pocket, so I need that money to travel around Haiti. So we need to negotiate. And then the guy said, well, what is your offer? And Ben said, well, I have only $50 I can give you. But you know what? The guy agreed to take the $50, and actually he took the $50. And he said, well, tomorrow morning I'll meet you in the bus station and we're going to get the kid. And then Ben, as a journalist, he didn't go. He just wanted to know if it's real true. And then thus the guy was minute. And when Ben shared that story with me, I said, this still exists? Like to sell a human being for $50? Sell a human being for $50? This is how they do it. They go very far in the countryside and then convince a family, a desperate family, who can even put a meal on the table every day. And then that family wanted the best for the children. And when they heard this guy come and then wanted to take my kids for a better life, and we'll give the kids away. And then those guys, we call it couche in Haiti, and then those guys, they're called brokers. And then what they do, for instance, I need a kid, and I find a broker, and then I give him the money, and he goes, he went to the countryside and lies to their family. This is he. So after he shared that story with me, I said to him, did you really want the kid? And he said, no, Bill. Are you crazy? No. Well, he went to Dominican Republic and to do the research on the Batays and the sugarcane plantation. And the torture he saw there, it's unreal. It's unreal. Well, when he got back from the Dominican Republic, somehow he got malaria. And then he was very sick. And then I found chloroquine and then gave to him. And back to his feet and went back to the United States. And he emailed me after. He said, Bill, I'm writing a book, and then I would like your story to be in my book. I said, well, this is my contribution to the whole world. I want them to know what's going on in my country. And then he wrote the book. And the title of the book is A Crime So Monstrous. And then that talk about the modern day of slavery in the whole world. But living in a country where the government don't really take all these issues very seriously. They know all this is going on. They know. That's the reason why I went to Telluride Film Festival, where they have a film festival up in Telluride every year. I went there, and I was invited by David Holbrook. I don't know if you remember the Holbrook who just died. And he used to work in Afghanistan and a lot of places. But he just died recently, and then his son took over. I went there, but normally when they have the film festival, they usually have the film festival for all the filmmakers to come and share the movies and have a good time. And I brought up the slavery issues in Haiti. And then we're showing a movie, and the title is A Price of Sugar. And then I recommended you guys to see that movie. And that movie explained the lives of the Haitians living in the Dominican Republic and the Batés. After my presentation there, I sent an email to Dan Harris. Dan Harris, he works for Nightline, ABC Nightline, and they emailed me. They said, Bill, they want to do some documentary about Westover children. And then they went to Haiti with all the film crew. And then I met a young girl. She was 9 years old. And her name is Tisa. That girl kept inside the house. She was not allowed to leave the house. And then for no other reason, she would get beat up. And what she used to beat her up with, it's an electrical wire. And then when I found her, all of her face, huge scars. And then I questioned her, what happened? And then she said, she got beat up because she didn't do her work on time. So the reason why I did that, I work with them. So I want the whole world to be aware of this abuse. And a lot of those children, they sold them away to be sex slaves in the Dominican Republic as well. Mostly the little girls and then the women. So here we are. Here we are. In our heads, well, there is no more slavery, and then all and on, and then here we are. And then this is not only here. It's been happening in a lot of countries. India, Cambodia, and a lot of places. So the question is, what can we do? What can we do to stop that? I see it's our goal when we leave this place, Holden Village, and then wherever we may be, and then talk about this. Share it to your friends. Share it to your church. That's the only way something will be done. When a lot of people hear about this situation, and I'm pretty sure something will happen. Something will happen. So, I know there are many organizations that are working hard. But we have to do our part. So those three boys, they belong to Jean-Aubert Cadet Foundation. And then those three boys, Jean-Aubert Cadet founded them in the Dominican Republic in the sugarcane plantation, where they were tied up in a little shack house. So Jean-Aubert Cadet founded them, and then put them in the place. When he founded them, they were very, very, very sad kids. And then now look at the smile on their face. This is what we need to do. We need to step and then make a difference in those kids' life. Because we cannot have a better Haiti without breaking this issue. We must do something. We must do something. Do you guys have any questions for me?
You say it's 90% Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
What's the church doing?
A lot of churches some of them not well, I would say some of them are doing in their local scale. But they should be doing more. But I haven't seen this.
And obviously the people that are doing it profess to be Catholic.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Can I add something? Most of the churches actually were in Haiti, besides Catholic, are more into, you know, evangelized people, especially after the earthquake. A lot of denominations went to Haiti. That's their goal is to evangelize. And then some of them who are new don't know exactly about the issue. If they know it, this is not their priority for now. Or for some, it has never been their priority because the focus is on evangelizing people. So we have other organizations actually working on it. But it is a very spoiled system because when we had Duvalier, who was there for 36 years, most of his militia, or Toto Makut, did actually have Restaveg in their house. So it was, so how can you beat the system if your own people are doing it? So he couldn't say anything. But after Duvalier, most of the government who actually passed, their priority wasn't that. It wasn't the people actually the priority. Their priority was something else, you know, have more money, you know, do other things, but it wasn't their problem. Even though we have so many organizations who actually bring that up to the country, you know, show this to people to tell them you have to start doing this because it's not good. But most of the TV stations, you know, were actually one. You know, we had the biggest one was the government TV station. So you want to allow to see that, because to show that on the TV, because if you do, you actually denounce the thing that the government is doing or not doing. So it was so hard for organizations to actually show that on TV. And most of the people at that time were only three, two TV stations in Haiti. One was the upper one. Those kind of people don't even involve in anything in Haiti. They give you only the news. That's the news that will make you happy. And then a lot of English movie. And then you're done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happened.
Do most people, like the poor people, know about it? I think when they give their children away, do they believe they'll be taken care of, or do they know about this?
Well, a lot of them, those people, they don't really know what the children will be ended up to. But the way that Borker went in and talked to them, they said, well, I have a friend of mine who's willing to take your kids in. Your kids will have an education, and so on and so on. And then the family was so desperately and gave the children away, but in the head, they thought, well, my kids will have a better life. My kids will have something that I will never could afford to give them. And then they took the kids in such a young age, and then when the kids ended up, you know, in a 14 years old, 15 years old, and that kid don't really remember and then where it's from. And in their own family don't even know where the kids are in Port-au-Prince. So that's the problem. So there is no connection at all. There is no connection at all.
I was going to ask you before, you said you had a sister?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get back together with her?
After 13 years.
Yeah, you left that out before, by the way.
After 13 years. We finally reunited.
Was she put into slavery?
Well, she was lucky. She found a family that took good care of her. Mm. But over the years, as the family getting to age, and then they already have grown kids, and then a lot of them live in Canada, and they said, well, they went back and then took their parents. And then my sister somehow didn't have anywhere else to go. And then someone else took her. And then that's when she ended up in slavery.
She did end up?
Yeah. And then when I went in to find her, I went everywhere, a lot of places in Haiti. But guess where I found her? In the Dominican Republic, working in a tobacco field. Wow. And then pregnant, and then horrible. And then she'd been abused a lot. And then she had four kids, and then some of them, two of them, and then she had them in a really bad condition. And then right now she's with me, and then she's fine, and then she's caring for her kids. And then one thing I like about her, she did not throw those kids away. And Haiti is so hard, and then a single mother with three kids. And then and when the mother often realized, you know, every time she looked at those two kids, she remembered what happened. And then she carried on. She carried on. And then I told her, I will admire you. And I know there's a lot of families will be throwing them away. Yes. Any question? Yes.
How far back does this child slavery go? Does it go all the way back to the independence of Haiti, or is it worse now than other years? Or
this issue actually started, I would say, when Jean-Claude Duvalier was in power, because he was the one sold Haitian on the Batays. He sold the Haitian to the Batays in Dominican Republic to work in the sugarcane plantation. And that's where the idea came from. And then others, like a leader of Haiti, did that for his own benefit. And then families started to realize, oh, how can we pursue what he did? And then cheap labor and then find kids that can work for us for free. We don't need to think about paying them for anything. And then this is it. The recycling thing. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yes. Plantations. Are those American plantations?
Virginia.
Virginia?
Yes.
How do you mean? The state of Virginia?
It's for
like the plantation in Dominican Republic belonged to a guy named Vicini. It's a family who owned the plantation.
Okay.
That's their business. And then the government of Dominican Republic bought it from them. And then what the agreement was, they signed a deal with Papa Doc because they want more people to work in the sugarcane plantation.
What I'm wondering is, apparently, I'm wondering if there would be, somehow, I'm thinking that there's an American connection here somehow in the works, and if there would be pressure put on the company, maybe that would take care of it.
Well, the American government, there's a big involvement in that. Big involvement. So that's, if you see the movie, The Price of Sugar, and then that will give you a real picture on what it's all about.
And also, I think in some areas in the States, they ship sugar from the Dominicans, you know.
That's what I'm thinking.
They're in the States, so, it also labeled.
Yeah.
Because that's the reason why, when I was showing this movie up in Telluride, and then, they would not allow us to play it. Because they said, are you guys crazy? Most of the sugar that in the U.S. people are using from the Dominican Republic and all the sugar get here in the back of the Haitian people.
You know, I want to go back to the question that Chuck's actually asked earlier. And then I think your question was how far did the Charles the slavery started? It started during this slavery when the African was there. The African actually recycled what the masters actually did to them. You could find a lot of this in our Haitian culture. Like he was saying, when he was sharing his story as a Ristavec, that he would they would beat him up with a whip. A whip is the one that they used to for horses in Haiti, but they use it for the kids. It's what the slave actually, we Haitian actually doing, is doing exactly what the French master did to them. You know, but I don't know if you, especially women, you know, you grow up with your mom, and then sometimes you see yourself in your mom. And you see your mom in yourself, you're like, oh, this is my mom used to do that. You know? And this is exactly what happened. But unfortunately, it's been doing on the kids and the young girls and young boys, but it's mostly girls. And some family, I remember when I was growing up, what they would do, for example, if they have a little girl, they would ask for Ristavec, a girl that is the same age as their daughter. So they put them together. What happened? This girl will do, the Ristavec will do whatever the girl asks to do. Like, you do my bed, you are my own slave. You belong to me. So you do whatever I ask you to do. And you do my bed, you take my shoes under my, you know, wherever it is, even though my shoes is right there, if I want you to pick it up, you have to. You're not allowed to say no. If you say no, I call my mom is going to beat you up. Or I can beat you up anytime I want to. That was the thing in Haiti. And then that's still the thing in Haiti. When the girl, you know, the same age, they will actually send that estavec to pick up the daughter from school. And then she would carry her backpack. She would carry everything. The same age, imagine 7 years old, both of them are. And then she was considered the adult. And then she is the child. So this has been going on for a long time. Long time in Haiti. On top of it, she's not allowed to go to school. She's not allowed to sleep in the house. Or sometimes if she sleep in the house, she would sleep in the girl bedroom, but on the floor. There's even a guy, he is a storyteller, and he's very funny. His name is Maurice Sixto. He passed away a long time ago. And he has a story about that culture, the child slavery culture, where he actually tells, you know, this is not right to do that. This is the way that Haitians have been doing this. And some of the families actually can see themselves in the story. They are not happy with it because they've been doing this. Yeah.
I know you say education, and you're right, but I think this is going to take a multi-pronged approach.
Absolutely.
A lot of different
Absolutely.
Areas.
Absolutely.
It's something that actually our government need to focus on, the child labor in Haiti. But I don't think it's something that they will actually work on it right away. I don't know. I don't think it is in the priority of the government.
The world focus right now is the earthquake and everything's restored.
Yeah.
And then we even, from our small church, we even sent a person down there to work for about 2 weeks from our small congregation. So I mean, a lot of people are reaching out that way, and they don't know all this other stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm.